long weekends are great because the crowds are small. It's like preaching to a group of friends. We're going to continue on with our series in the Summer in the Sun, Teachings of Jesus. And this morning, I'm going to talk about the abundant life. Well, the abundant life. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." What is the abundant life? We hear this phrase all the time. We all have different perceptions of what the abundant life is. If I were to ask 10 of you out there, I would likely get 10 unique responses. So, abundant life, what might that mean to you and me? Well, Wikipedia says, "Abundant life refers to life in its abounding fullness of joy and strength for mind, body, and soul. Abundant life signifies a contrast to feelings of lack, emptiness, and dissatisfaction, and such feelings may motivate a person to seek for the meaning of life and a change in their life." Oh, may it only be so. I think many also equate the abundant life with a prosperous life, or at least that is the abundant life most of us wish for, if we were to be honest. A life filled with material wealth, that would be the cat's meow. To win the lottery, never have another worry. Now, I know, Andrew, you don't buy lottery tickets, so you're okay. We would be generous and philanthropic. We would give money to those that needed it. Would never have another worry about another bill or an expense. All our wants and whims would be met. Our culture and way of life is based on the almighty dollar. And if God would provide that dollar, life would be able to be lived to the fullest, wouldn't it? Money may give some kinds of abundance, but would it truly give life to the fullest? Can wealth fill our emotional needs or make our relationships better? Maybe just a new set of problems. So some others would still equate the abundant life with a life filled with good health and a loving family. Now that sounds more like it. What could be better than having good health with little to no sickness and a loving family to share the time of fellowship with? Our own little world with a perfect functional family filled with all good times. All things are bearable and easy to overcome when one has their health and a loving family. Nothing could be better or wrong with this. There is nothing that could disrupt this or throw a wrench into this one, is there? Then still, there are those that equate the abundant life with knowledge and understanding. And I won't pick on Andrew again because he's a professor at a seminary. To seek the answers of the universe, the answers to all our questions. I work at a university, a place where the pursuit of that advancement of knowledge and the seeking of greater truth is at the forefront. It is a noble pursuit to seek knowledge. Through knowledge and understanding, we achieve the abundant life. However, seeking of knowledge can be full of pride and feelings of superiority. Universities are a place full of big egos and behavior that is not much abundant. Is that the abundant life, to think that we are smarter than everyone else? Will knowledge lead to the ultimate abundant life? I don't know. Let me just say, none of these are bad in themselves. We all here are at different places in our life journey. Some, their journey has been longer than others. We represent a wide range here this morning, from the very young to the more mature. Some may think they have not experienced abundant life, that life is hard. However, we are aware life is full of times of joy and sorrow, comfort and pain, wealth and poverty, love and hate, hills and valleys, good times and bad. Life is complex, and we all experience a different journey. We all have our own path. So what is abundant life that Christ says he came to bring? Is abundant life measured with more good times than bad? Can one have abundant life when chaos seems to reign and there are certainly more low points than high? We know that the length of life on earth is not synonymous with abundant life. Many in the Bible and throughout history have had lives of struggle, suffering, and pain, yet seem to experience abundant life. Actually, some believers deal with some major problems because of our faith and our relationship with Christ. Their new life in Christ costs them physical and material abundance. Yet, Jesus says, we can have abundant life. Jesus says in John 16, 33, and the clicker doesn't work. If you could click to the next slide for me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. For in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Wow. Jesus warning his disciples that they would have trouble in life. Go figure. In this world, in our relationships with a hostile world to Christianity, we will have trouble. But Jesus promised that in our relationship with him, even in the midst of our troubles, we would know peace in him. Life will contain troubles. We know the abundant life is not the absence of all difficult and low times. There is a time and a season for everything. Solomon knew this. He had great wealth, good health, and family and wisdom beyond that of anyone around. And he recognized the futility in it all when he says in Ecclesiastes, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Solomon goes on to say later in Ecclesiastes, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search, and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart, and a time to sew together, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. That certainly covers everything, doesn't it? Some trouble comes to everyone. So what is abundant life then that Jesus is referring to here when he said, I have come that they may have life abundant? And not just life, not just existence, but abundant life. I think this statement is a positive statement, not about what we are saved from, but what we are saved to. Jesus is offering here something wonderful and good. First, I think abundant life is eternal life. Abundant life is a life that begins the moment we come to Christ and receive him as Savior and goes on throughout eternity. The biblical definition of eternal life is provided by Jesus himself in John. John 17 says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This definition makes no mention of length of days, health, prosperity, family, or occupation. As a matter of fact, the only thing it does mention is that we may know God and Jesus Christ, which leads to my second point. Abundant life is relationships. It is about relationship with God, which is the key to a truly abundant life. Knowing God and Him being the center of our lives is the abundant life. Knowing Jesus changes and transforms lives. If I were to ask those here today that had their lives totally transformed by the saving power of a personal relationship with Jesus, I think we would be here a long time, much longer than my sermon. Thank God for that. My own story is a remarkable transformation that set me on a path that I have never looked back on. And I have continued to live in that abundant life, the life of a Christian. It is not determined by duration, but by our relationship with God. It is also our relationship with God will lead to relationships with each other. Jesus tells his disciples in John 13, "A new command I give you, love one another, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus is emphasizing here the second of the two greatest commandments that hang on all the law and the prophets, that we are all familiar with, those two commandments involving love of God with all heart, soul, mind, and love of our neighbors. Love one another, he says. There can be no real abundance in life that is not connected with keeping these two greatest commandments. The abundant life is relationships. Third, the abundant life is prosperity. That's right, I said it. The abundant life is prosperity. Not of material wealth, but of spiritual wealth. Abundance is spiritual abundance, not material. In fact, God is not overly concerned with our physical circumstances in our lives. In Matthew 6, he assures us that we need not worry about what we will eat or wear. We are more than food and clothing to God. Paul also knew this. In Philippians 4, he tells us that our needs will be met by his riches and glory. Physical blessings may or may not be part of a God-centered life. Neither our wealth nor our poverty is a sure indication of our standing with God. We are naturally desirous of material things. That is our culture, unfortunately, to want things. As Christian, our perspective on life must be revolutionized. Just as we become new creations when we come to Christ, so must our understanding of abundance be transformed. True abundant life consists of an abundance of love, peace, joy, and all the rest of the fruits of the Spirit, not an abundance of stuff. It consists of the life that is eternal, and therefore our interest is in the eternal, not in the temporal. Solomon had all the material blessings available to a man. He had so many, silver was considered worthless in his kingdom because it was so common. Yet he found it all to be meaningless. He even warned us that monetary abundance can never be satisfied. We read in Ecclesiastes 5, "Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income." This too is meaningless. What we need is more of Jesus. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." The Apostle Paul was transformed, and he focused his attention on the kingdom. And he put everything into perspective with that in mind. He was content in whatever physical circumstances he found himself in. He says in Philippians, "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to be in plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who strengthens me. We need more of Jesus. The key here is putting God first in our lives. And all this other stuff will be relegated to the place that it should be. Material prosperity is not our priority as something that we focus ourselves on. The abundant life is a life led looking to eternity, a life filled with spiritual blessings and the joy of the Lord. Abundant life is spiritual prosperity. Pastor, you say, that is easy to say, but I still have things that we need. Well, I'm not saying that you can't work and earn money. We all need that. But it's all about priorities. That is why we grow in this, and it doesn't happen instantaneously, which leads me to my fourth point. Abundant life is growing in grace and knowledge, essentially maturity. We mature in the Lord. A Christian's life revolves around maturing in his grace and love. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He teaches us that the abundant life is a continual process of learning, practicing, and maturing, as well as failing, recovering, adjusting, enduring, and overcoming. Life can be hard, and there are many trials that come that work out for our benefit to make us grow. Living life comes with its joys and its sorrows. But through them all, Christ is with us. I look at my continuing journey to maturity in Christ, and I'm not there yet. It is filled with many ups and downs. And sometimes I go for lunch with Andrew just to tell him all my downs, and he gives me the encouragement I need, because God uses him. Sometimes I cry out to God, where are you? And it is only after I have made it through that I look back and reflect on it and go, what was that? And it was a lesson for me that it was my own worry and my own lack of trust that I struggled with so much. But he was there with me through the whole time, teaching me, allowing me to experience the pain and hurt for the purpose of maturing in him. There are times when I am aware of his presence, and he guides me through without any angst, because I may be in a state where I would not be able to handle it. It never ceases to amaze me that no matter what the situation, he knows exactly what I need. Sometimes it's years in the making, and I realize that maturing takes time, patience, and plenty of humility. Though I know one day I will no longer struggle with this sin and doubt, this will ultimately be the fulfilled abundant life. I am often reminded, and like to keep this scripture with me. Paul said in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, having said that, I've developed some disciplines that I use to help me follow the abundant life. First, slow down. Although our world is spinning at a faster and faster pace, and we are constantly pulled in a million directions, we still crave stillness. It is the one thing we have forgotten to cultivate amid our constant productivity. When we can stop, slow down, or even focus on one thing at a time, we can see more clearly. We can experience the things from a standpoint of contentment rather than striving. And we can find joy in the Lord. For he says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The next thing I do is choose gratitude. Happiness is fleeting. Circumstances are always going to change. Chasing perfection will leave you wanting. But choosing to be grateful for all things in our lives gives us perspective. It also allows us to share our joy with others. A study showed, unsurprisingly, that expressing gratitude to others has a positive effect on them. Who knew? High-powered but insecure people who were criticized tended to respond with a counterattack. But when the same people were shown gratitude, they responded with much more positive behavior. Choosing gratitude has an effect on others. I guess God knew all along, before any of our modern-day studies. Paul says in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So choose gratitude. The next thing I like to practice is reframe your perspective. It is so easy to look at all the things in life that seem to be holding you back, the obstacles, the limitations, the circumstances, and you tend to feel powerless. So often our greatest moments come out of our deepest pain. And our most creative work comes from recognizing these obstacles and limitations as gifts in disguise. The idea that the Spirit of God works through our circumstance and choices, through the things that happen to us, has given me a helpful perspective from which to view my own life and the lives of those I journey with. Paul continually reframes his perspective. We read in Philippians 3, "I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul reframes his perspective. And we need to reframe our perspectives. The last thing, and yes, I stole this from Nike. Just do it. Christians dwell in a state of constant grace, forgiveness, and renewal. Jesus gives us not only hope for a future life, but hope to live a new life right now. Living an abundant life in Jesus. And service to others deepens and sweetens this life. It is by serving that we learn to serve. When we are engaged in the service of our fellow man, not only do our deeds assist them, but we put our own problems in our fresher perspective. When we concern ourselves more with others, there is less time to be concerned with ourselves. In the midst of the miracle of serving, there is a promise of Jesus that by losing ourselves, we find ourselves. Serving others is a duty even the ancient world recognized. Non nobis solum nati sumus. Sorry for the Latin, but I've studied languages for years, and this is the only place I get to use them. It's a quote by Marcus Cicero, a Greek philosopher at the time of Julius Caesar. And as it was translated, it means, "Not for ourselves alone are we born." The joy that comes from using our gifts to help others see and use their gifts brings us closer to Jesus. Seeing how the Spirit uses me in my life to touch others encourages me to a deeper obedience and submission. The good life that flows from posturing, from this posturing, is amazing. Serving out of our giftedness, allowing ourselves to become channels of God's grace, is a key to abundant life. John Bunyan, 17th century preacher, an author of The Pilgrim's Progress, said, "You have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you." So at the end of the day, perhaps this is how we know we have an abundant life: when we have shared our Christ-centered life with others. When we have enough of the blessings of God, His mercy, His peace, His love, grace, wisdom, to share with others and then actually do it. That's when we truly have abundant life. Joy and greatness springs out of the selflessness and service. So just do it. Let me conclude with the words from a song that I happened to be listening to while I was writing this sermon. Yes, it was 70s music. Don't judge me. And I don't believe in coincidences. So this song played as I was coming to the end of my writing my sermon. And the words of this song go, "Day by day, O dear Lord, three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day." And the worship team, please come. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you did come, that we may have life and have it in abundance, Lord. The abundance of knowing you as our Lord and Savior, and that we will one day be with you in eternity. We give you thanks, Lord. We ask that you continue to bless us, Lord, as we seek you first. Lord, as we grow in you, in your grace, and in your love, and share that love with others, Lord. Lord, may we draw closer to you, see you more clearly, and love you more dearly. We ask this in Jesus' name.